What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, before we get started, I just really had to go on a little bit of a rant about the paper bag fans. And those are you fans who go to games and you sit in your seats with paper bags over your heads, like you're embarrassed to be a fucking fan of whatever team it is. And the reason why I hate you is because if you are a fan, a true fan, you stick by your team through thick and thin. When your team is high and mighty and on top of the game, you're with them there. But when they're down and out, you fucking stick with them there too. And I hate paper bag fans. Because you paper bag fans are the fakest motherfuckers in the fucking world. And you don't deserve to call yourself fans. And you also don't get to celebrate the victories that are good, or whenever we do get good, you don't get to celebrate those victories. So to you stupid Dallas Cowboys fans who have been sitting in the seats with your dumbass paper bags over your fucking face, you do not get to celebrate yesterday's victory, okay? And you do not get to celebrate whenever it is we get good again. It'll happen, y'all. I know everybody's laughing because it's the Cowboys. One day, the Cowboys will be good again. And I we'll get to celebrate. You know why? Because I'm Cowboys for motherfucking life. I do not give a shit how shitty my Cowboys are. I still rep my Cowboys every single Sunday. You see me cowboyed out. When I'm driving around town in my car, my license plate is a Dallas Cowboys license plate. So I'm repping my team forever and for always. So when they lose on Sunday and I'm driving around on Monday, I'm letting y'all know I'm a Cowboys fan. Don't cover it up. It's loud and proud. I've got the Cowboys tattooed on me. That is how much of a fan I am. So to you paper bag fans, get the fuck out of here. You do not get to celebrate with us ever. Go root for the Chiefs or whoever you want to fucking bandwagon with. You don't get to be here, especially whenever it is when we get good, and you do not get to celebrate yesterday's fan-fucking-tastic win. So let's get in to week 12, and yeah, let's go ahead and start off with my Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Commanders, because, man, all week, Commanders fans talking all this shit, we want the Cowboys, we want the Cowboys. Well, what do I tell you all? I reiterate on a regular fucking basis on this show, do not overlook the division rivals. It don't matter how shitty one team is and how great the other one is, because anything can happen, and that is what happened in yesterday's game. Actually, a couple of division matchups, but this one specifically, since we're talking about it. What a game. This was one of the craziest games I've ever watched in my entire life, and thank God for once the Cowboys were on the winning end of this, too. By the way, I hate you fans, too. Who are like, draft position. I wanted us to lose for draft position. Fuck you two. Fuck you two. I want wins always and forever. I do not give a shit about draft position. The draft is the draft. We'll work that shit out when we get to the motherfucking draft. You could trade up fucking draft position. You ain't a real fan if that's what you were worried about. You do not want your team losing six in a row. The Cowboys have lost five straight fucking games. Do you know how great it was for me yesterday to actually watch a Cowboys game and like be into it and be screaming my ass off and like, holy shit, great play. Oh my God. Oh yes. Oh no. Like that was my emotions yesterday. And it was great to finally have a game where I could be excited. And the end result was absolutely great. Now, the first half was terrible. Neither one of these teams wanted to score shit. So we went into halftime tied at 3. That's how bad this was. But then all of a sudden, so the Cowboys score a touchdown in the third quarter, take the lead. Then the Commanders score, and it's just like they score a couple field goals, actually, and it's just kind of close. We're kind of working, or actually, no, they did score a touchdown. They missed the extra point, though. You know, it's close. But the Cowboys, you know, the defense is really just holding Jaden Daniels in check. At one point, heading into the fourth quarter, he only had 80 yards passing. So they held him in check. They held the ground attack in check. So the defense is playing great. We got Bland back yesterday, so they're looking good. And then offensively, the ground attack actually was legitimate yesterday, and they were able to put together some solid drives. They just weren't, you know, they just weren't finishing the job until the fourth quarter. And man, I swear to God, this was so freaking crazy. You know, the Commanders, they actually, they scored a touchdown to get within, I think it was 20-17 at this point, Cowboys, 20-17 Cowboys. So the play of the fucking game was they kicked the Commanders kick a kickoff to Turpin, and Turpin freaking fumbles this ball, and it's looking like, oh shit, here we go. He does this insane spin move, and boom, he is off and scores the world's craziest touchdown to take an even bigger lead for the Cowboys. And I'm like, oh my God, we might win this game. This is it. This is going to happen. And then the freaking Commanders. Next fucking drive. Daniels, he comes out and he just bombs up a bomb to Terry McLaurin. And he freaking catches the ball. And okay, the Commanders are like far back too. They're way back. They're like at the, they gotta be at like the 20-yard line, maybe even a little further back than that. But they're far in their own territory. And I kid you not, no Cowboy wanted to even tackle Terry McLaurin. Like, this was so unbelievable to watch Terry McLaurin just run by the Cowboys defenders and score a touchdown. And all the Commanders had to do was get the extra point. Now, I did mention they missed an extra point earlier in the game, so I'm like, oh my God. All we need is just like, because I'm just thinking the worst here. I'm like, oh God, now the Cowboys blew it. They had this nice little lead, and then we just blew it. But I'm just remembering in the back of my head that missed extra point earlier in the game. Ball snaps, and I see the guy who's supposed to hold the ball for the kicker. I see him kind of fumble the ball. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to miss the extra point. And he misses the extra point. And I'm like, oh my Lord, this game is like the craziest wide range of emotions ever. So onside kick for the Commanders on the next play. They kick it right to the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys on the kickoff, he just grabs it and he just runs. Now everybody's like, oh no, drop down. Because if the Cowboys get the ball, all they have to do is kneel the ball down and boom, it's over. But I'm sorry. I feel why this guy ran in there. Because for one, there was only 14 seconds left on the clock after he got the ball anyways. So it was like, boom, there really wasn't a lot of time left. But we scored the touchdown. We're pretty good. And the Cowboys defense actually holds back the Commander's offense, and they hold off and get the craziest win, not of just the season, but just honestly, this is legitimately one of the craziest games I've ever watched in my life. Cowboys win 34-26, and you know, I'll take the win. I will always take the win. The Cowboys are not headed anywhere. They are not a good team. We got the Giants coming up on Thanksgiving. I expect that to be a win, but I would not be shocked if we lose that one. But this win, it was so nice to stop the bleeding. Like I said, fuck you, paper bag fans. You do not get to enjoy this win because you are a fake fucking fan who covered your face and act like, oh, I'm a fan, but here's me in my paper bag. No, you're stupid. And also, you stupid fans who, draft position, go fuck yourself too. We got the win. That was an exciting-ass game, and I am so glad I finally got to watch a good Cowboys game this season. The last since week one. Week one was a fun game, and then after that, it's been like literal ass rape every single Sunday. So it was nice to actually finally see a fun win against a good team who's actually now on a 3-game losing streak. So we'll see what happens with the Commanders as the season wears on, but finally a good win by the Cowboys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Then another crazy divisional matchup we had was between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. This was actually dominated for the most part by the Vikings, and then the Bears just got this second wind in the fourth quarter. They were able to go off, score 17 points, tie it up. And I mean, Caleb Williams, dude, is on a tear these last couple of games. He went 32-47, 340 yards and 2 touchdowns, and was a huge deciding factor. I mean, this last drive he took them on in the fourth quarter, boom, boom, dart after dart, and just getting them in field goal range. The field goal was a little bit shaky and iffy there, sent them into overtime, but unfortunately for them, the Vikings do what the Vikings do. get into field goal range and win it 30-27. Aaron Jones had a big day for the Vikings, 106 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Jordan Addison, wide receiver of the Vikings. It was not a Justin Jefferson day. It was, everybody is on Justin Jefferson, so we're going to leave Addison and, oh my God, I'm forgetting the name of the tight end. Oh, shit, I can't remember his name now off the top of my head. I'm forgetting the name of the tight end on the Vikings. Hockenson. That's right. Hockenson, he just came back the last game, I believe. He's been injured the majority of the year, and he just got back. He had a solid day yesterday, but Addison, man, 162 yards and a touchdown. Huge day for the Vikings. Sam Darnold, he was stellar yesterday as well, so he had one of his up games. And, I mean, the Vikings, 9-2 on the season and playing excellent football, but got taken to the brink yesterday by the Chicago Bears. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Indianapolis Colts, and it was pretty much all Lions all day. They got the win 24-6, and I mean, this two-headed beast that the Lions have on offense between Montgomery and Gibbs. Montgomery was pounding the rock yesterday. Gibbs was pounding the rock yesterday. Gibbs had 90 yards and two touchdowns. Montgomery ended up leaving the game with some type of shoulder injury, but it did not matter. Gibbs took right on over, and this Detroit Lions team just absolutely obliterated the Colts. 24-6. Then we had the New England Patriots and Miami Dolphins. This was another game that was just completely out of reach. The Dolphins commanded this game from the jump. They, as a matter of fact, they scored 24 points in the second quarter alone. The Patriots were only able to score their 15 points in the fourth quarter, but it was 34-15 when it was all said and done. Miami, Tua Tagovailoa, 29 for 40, 317 yards and four touchdowns. Jaylen Waddle, 144 yards and a touchdown. Big day for the Dolphins. This is their third win in a row. They've really needed it. Offensively, they seem to get better. But the Patriots did not look good at all. This was a terrible game from them. As a matter of fact, the Dolphins' defense really just made this Patriots' offense look exceptionally ineffective for the entire game up until the fourth quarter. Then another dominating game was between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New York Giants. It was a absolute demolition by the Bucs in this one. They won 30-7. Baker Mayfield, man, I just get more and more impressed with this dude each and every week. Not only was he delivering some dimes, but there was one play. His running back, Irving, who just is getting better as the season goes on as well, who also had 87 yards and a touchdown, as he is making this big-ass run, out of nowhere is Baker Mayfield, who gets out in front of him and is, like, waving him over, like, dude, I'm going to block for you. Quarterbacks don't do this shit. Now, Baker Mayfield, obviously not going to throw the greatest block ever, but dude gets in the fucking way and helps his dude get out there. And then Baker Mayfield also has a great touchdown run where he just, boom, smashes into motherfuckers. And then his TD celebration was mocking Tommy DeVito's little Italian celebration that he always does where he's like, you know, doing the "eh" with his hands, really. And it was kind of funny just to see that, because that's kind of one of the things I've actually always loved about Baker Mayfield is when he kicks your ass, not only is he going to kick your ass, but he's going to shove it in your face. And he's done this in college football, too. A lot of people, if you don't remember when they beat Ohio, when Oklahoma beat Ohio State and he planted the Oklahoma flag in Ohio State's field after they won there, everybody threw a fucking fit. But to me, that shit was funny as shit, because it's like, stop me. If you want to stop me from celebrating in your home and mocking your ass, stop me, bitches. And no, the Giants were not able to do that yesterday. The Giants looked absolutely awful. Those 7 points were not scored until the fourth quarter. So yeah, that's how that game went for the Giants. But great game by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Carolina Panthers. This should have been an easy game for the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are supposed to be way better than the Panthers. I mean, as far as records go, as far as talent goes. And the Panthers, I'll give it to them. They are a team that fights hard every single game. Even though they're a 3-8 team, they're They still fight hard. Even in the losses, they still fight hard. And in this one, they fought hard and actually almost beat the Chiefs in this one. It's just, of course, as usual, they left too much time on the clock for Patrick Mahomes, who had a hell of a day. He went 27 for 37, 269 yards, and 3 touchdowns. But the big play from Patrick Mahomes was in the fourth quarter. So the Panthers actually end up tying the game at 27. And I mean, it is crazy what Bryce Young has turned into these last couple of games. It looks like him getting benched did exactly what you would hope him getting benched would do. And that is, he's turned into a much better player. Don't know how it's going to end up in the long run, but these last couple of games, he's actually shown that he's a pretty decent quarterback, or it can at least do something. And in this game, he tore up this Chiefs defense that is one of the best in the league. And that's why I'm like, what is wrong with this Chiefs team? So Bryce Young drives them down the field. Not only do they get the touchdown, but they have to score a two-point conversion to tie it up, and they do. So it's tied at 27, but unfortunately there's about a minute 19, a minute 15 left on the clock. And I'm sorry, y'all, that is way, 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 way too much time for the one, the only Patrick Mahomes. He ends up doing what Patrick Mahomes does. He doesn't even have to pass the ball to anybody. He actually runs it for a 34-yard run to set the team up in field goal position. And the field goal kicker makes it, and the Chiefs walk-off win 30-27. But for a 10-1 team, this Kansas City Chiefs team is getting taken to the mat each and every game. They're still getting the wins, which is all that matters. But I have a lot of concerns with this team, especially once we hit the playoffs. They're going to be playing real legitimate squads that aren't the Panthers. And if the Panthers and Bryce Young take you to the mat like that, you know, these other teams in the AFC are going to be licking their chops once the playoffs roll around. But, I mean, we'll see what happens when we get there. But the Chiefs defense, especially, like, their secondary was getting ripped apart by Bryce Young. And I'm not trying to diss Bryce Young, but come on, y'all. This Chiefs defense is supposed to be real stout, and Bryce Young made them look like Boo Boo the Fool yesterday. Then we had, once again, a division matchup that went crazy sideways, and that was the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. Now, the Texans, I've been talking about, they are on high alert for me as a team where they're more than likely going to make the playoffs. We do have a lot of football left to go, so anything can happen, but more than likely they're winning their division to get into the playoffs. But this offense, y'all, it's got their problems. And even C.J. Stroud, he was saying it yesterday in the postgame, like, I got to do better. I mean, he had this stupid play, which he didn't really have any room because his offensive line is terrible. But he was sacked in the end zone for a safety, but he actually stepped out of bounds beforehand. So those are little things like that where you really need to pay attention. And his turnovers, they've been a problem. But offensively, there's just been a lot of issues for them, and they're becoming more glaring each and every week. And the Titans are not a good team. But as I said, they're a division rival, and they took it to them, and they played one of their best games of the season. Will Levis, 18 for 24, 278 yards and 2 touchdowns, did have a terrible interception for a pick 6, by the way, but hey, they still got the win. Tony Pollard, 119 yards on the ground and a touchdown for the Titans in a 32-27 win. And the Texans they missed Fairbairn, missed a couple of field goals yesterday, an easy one too. I think it was like a 28-yarder, something that he's fully capable of making in their dome, by the way. You know, when you're missing dome kicks, that is a problem. You know, it's one thing, you're in Buffalo, it's a windy fucking night. You're in Pittsburgh, it's a windy fucking night. You're in Cleveland, it's a windy fucking night. You're in New York, it's a windy fucking night. But if you are in Houston, Texas, if you are in the Indianapolis Colts Stadium, which is a dome, if you are in any type of dome, Detroit, Dallas, if you are in a dome, your kicker should not really have any problems because there aren't any elements coming at them, like if you're in Buffalo, for example. And Fairbairn, not only is it this game that he's missed some, but a couple other games this season he's been missing them. So This Texans team, they really, really got to step it up because we are in the home stretch. Thanksgiving is a big turnaround time for some of these teams. I mean, let's look at it this way, y'all. Last year at this time, the Philadelphia Eagles were 10-1. And everybody's like, this is the Super Bowl winning team. And then they go on their epic losing streak in which they win, like, what, two more games out of the remainder. And then they make the playoffs. And then they lose right out the gate to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that was not even really that good at the time. So you got to look at it like this. Yes, your team may be Ryan and I right now, but there is a lot of football left to be played. And a team like the Texans really has to be on alert. Their division is terrible, but you look at it, and what if a team like the Colts gets on a little bit of a run? And the Texans keep on losing. Could be a problem at the end of the season, is all I'm saying. I still expect the Texans to keep on winning a couple of these last games towards the end here, but them heading into the playoffs like this, I still have a lot of concerns with this offensive line. Then we had another division matchup, but this one went about as expected, and that was the Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. Bo Nix, another great game from this kid, 25 for 42, 273 yards, and two touchdowns on the day in a win by the Broncos, 29-19. Unfortunately, the quarterback problems have now become more of an issue for the Raiders. Their starting quarterback, Gardner Minshew, he broke his collarbone, is going to be out the rest of the year. So we'll see what happens with this team. They probably are hoping for the first pick in the draft anyways, because they could definitely use somebody like Shedeur Sanders at the quarterback position. But Bo Nix keeps on keeping on as a rookie quarterback. He's getting better as the season wears on, and this Broncos team looking pretty good, at least right now. Then we move on to a team that's not looking good, and that is the San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers. The Packers absolutely dominated the Niners and handed them one of their worst losses in quite some time. The Packers won 38-10. It was all Josh Jacobs yesterday on the ground. I mean, he was gashing this Niners defense, and that says a lot because this Niners defense is known for being very stout, and you can't get through them. And Jacobs had no problems yesterday with 106 yards and three touchdowns on the day. So he had a great day. Kittle was pretty much the only shining star for the Niners yesterday. He had 82 yards and a touchdown. But, I mean, it was absolute demolition by the Packers, 38-10. The Niners looked terrible. Christian McCaffrey had a fumble. Of course, Purdy did not play in this game, but I don't think it would have mattered even if he had, because the Niners just don't look good at all. They are not cohesive. They are making really terrible penalties. I mean, they had two back-to-back defensive 12-men on the field calls, back-to-back. I mean, it's one, and the second one was even worse than the first one, because the first one was one of those where Jordan Love is like, oh shit, let me just run up to the line and hike the ball real quick, because he could see the defense was trying to get a guy off the field, and as soon as he hiked the ball, the Niner was still running off of the field, so that's technically 12 guys on the field, so he was able to get him on that one. But unfortunately for the Packers, they also had a penalty as well. So the penalty's offset. The very next play, not only did the Niners have 12 men on the field, but nobody was running off the field. It was all 12 were lined up like it was a play. And so it was really weird to see the Niners kind of have those brain farts that they don't normally have. So like I keep saying with this Niners team, they are not good, and they are in a terrible division where anybody can win it, but I don't think the Niners have a shot at winning it playing like that. Then another division matchup, which I don't think was as crazy. It kind of was, but really Seattle had the lead the whole way and really were in the driver's seat for the majority of this one. And that is the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks got the close win, 16-6. But like I said, their defense, man, they had Kyler Murray running for his life. Even at the end there, it kind of felt like they hit him just like right. And you could tell he was not feeling good right after he got hit like that. Murray had a terrible interception too at one point. Threw it right to the Seattle Seahawks' Kobe Bryant, who just, boom, ran it right through to the end zone and scored a huge touchdown, which actually ended up being basically the deciding factor in this game. for Seattle. But, I mean, good game for them. Defensively, they Leonard Williams had 2.5 sacks and had a few tackles for loss. He was basically in on every defensive play that you could see yesterday. So, really solid game from the Seahawks and really not a good game from the Cardinals. But that is how this NFC West is. One game, the team will be up. Then the next game, they'll be down. This NFC West is so hard to predict and see who's actually going to win this one. And another NFC West team played for Sunday Night Football. Philadelphia Eagles at the Los Angeles Rams. And the Rams, they got demolished last night. I mean, the Eagles just killed them in this one, 37-20. Saquon Barkley had a career game, 255 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. 2 of those runs were over 70 yards. Like, this guy cannot be stopped. It is just crazy to watch. And you really got to look at it like this year we could actually have an MVP who is not a quarterback, because at this point in time, who is playing better football than Saquon Barkley? And real talk, if Saquon Barkley was not on this Eagles team, they would not be this good. He is shouldering the load. He is why they are 9-2, the number 2 seed right now in the NFC, one of the best teams in the league right now. And Saquon, man, the New York Giants are looking really stupid right now for letting him go, because they chose Daniel Jones over Saquon, which we all knew was a stupid move because Saquon was obviously the more talented guy of the two. But now Daniel Jones is not even on the team, so now that looks even stupider. But now Saquon is in the division on a Philadelphia Eagles team that has already gone to the Super Bowl, has already been a contender over the last couple of seasons, and now they just got even better. They were a ground-and-pound team to begin with, and now they just got probably... It's hard to decipher who's the better running back between Saquon and Derrick Henry, because they are two completely different backs. You know, Saquon's very finesse and very fast and just he's very Barry Sanders-esque. And Derrick Henry is just a bruiser. That dude's just going to boom, 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 right, and just knock down every motherfucker in his way. And he's just going to keep pounding that rock. They're both fast as hell. They both are great. But it's really difficult to really choose who you'd rather have between the two of them. Both are having excellent seasons right now. But Saquon had an excellent game. Rams could not get going at all offensively. And just were playing from behind. It was a terrible game from the Rams. But like I said, this NFC West is so convoluted. But all 4 teams play exactly alike. They have one great game, then one terrible game, one great game, then one terrible game. So who's going to win this division? Who the fuck knows? I don't think it's going to be the Niners, but at this rate, anything is a go with that division. Moving on to Monday Night Football, we have us a pretty damn good matchup between the Baltimore Ravens at the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, this is the Harbaugh Bowl. Jim and John, the two coaches of each squad, going up against each other. The Baltimore Ravens right now are a 2.5-point favorite heading into tonight's game. You know, the big news really is Roquan Smith, the linebacker for the Ravens. He is a game-time decision tonight, so we'll see if he plays. But, you know, the Chargers are on a heater right now. They're looking like a really solid team, playing great defensively, really putting it together offensively. They've got a good ground attack coupled in with a nice passing attack that seems to get better and better every single week. Justin Herbert seems to be fitting right in with this offense and getting better every week as well. The Ravens, though, are coming off of a loss. So to me, that I always am like, Ravens lost last week. They're coming in, and usually a team... Probably one of the most reliable teams to bounce back after a loss is the Baltimore Ravens, which is why I'm leaning towards them in this one. I do think it's going to be a good game between two good teams. I think we're going to have some big plays from each defense. I think we're going to have some big plays from each offense. I think it's just going to be a battle back and forth, and I would not be shocked if it comes down to like a game-winning field goal, a game-winning touchdown, a game-winning sack, something crazy like that. Would not be surprised if that happens, but I do have the Ravens winning this one 31-28. Like I said, they're always a good bounce-back team, but I do think... they're going to be able to, because, you know, the Chargers, I'm not sold on them yet. They haven't, to me, proven that they're a legitimate squad because they haven't done it from week to week. They just now have started getting going, whereas the Ravens, they are more proven to me. I feel like Derrick Henry hasn't had, I don't think he's gone over 70 yards in the last two games, so I kind of feel like they're gonna ride him all night, and he's just going to have a solid game. I feel like Lamar Jackson's going to have a nice night. And I just feel like the Ravens are going to put it together and get the win. And then the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, he is actually going the opposite direction as me. He's going with a close one between the Chargers and Ravens. But he's got the Chargers winning this one 28-27. Moving on to the NBA and the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes. Not even a lot of shuffling. I mean, the top three is basically the same exact thing that it's been the last couple of weeks for sure. We got a couple of teams sticking around that I'm actually kind of shocked by. So let's go ahead and start off with number one remains the Cleveland Cavaliers. Even though they finally suffered their first loss last week, they are still 17-1 on the season. Their only loss was to the Boston Celtics last week. They did pick up some wins, though, over the New Orleans Pelicans and the Toronto Raptors as well. But this team is so dominant on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they could kill it in three-pointers. They're good in the paint. They're good. They are just so good in so many ways and getting it done. It's just, they are such a good-ass team. And good for the Eastern Conference, because like I keep saying, the Eastern Conference is terrible. It's the Cavaliers, the Celtics, and nobody else. So good for the Cavaliers to actually show they're a legitimate squad. And it wasn't just like a fake, oh my God, we started off 15-0 and then we're going to lose from here. No, they actually lost to the Celtics and now they're back on another winning streak. And still looking like the best team in the league. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings still remains the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 14-3. This week they got wins over the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Washington Wizards, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Very big battle between them and the Timberwolves over the weekend as well. But Jason Tatum is carrying this team. But some good news for the already one of the best teams in the league. They get Porzingis back tonight a little bit earlier, too. I mean, we were actually not expecting him back until December. And even that was sounding like a little bit too early. But no, here he is, November 25th, coming back to play tonight in Boston. So now Boston should actually look even better because I don't know if y'all remember last year with Porzingis. Wow, this guy had such a year and was just killing it all the way till the championship. So Boston should look even better as the season wears on. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings still remains the Golden State Warriors, 12-4 on the season. They lost this week to the Clippers and the Spurs, but they did get wins over the Hawks and the Pelicans. Really, this team is actually looking for a center. That's pretty much their only weakness right now. Steph Curry really carrying this team, making the big shots as he needs to. Buddy Hield has really turned into a big move for them. Andrew Wiggins is still doing Andrew Wiggins things where he's scoring a whole lot of points as well and becoming a deciding factor. It's really just the center position. They really need a little bit more help on the defensive side of the ball, but the Golden State Warriors still on fire. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are 12-4 on the season. This past week, they did lose to the Dallas Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs, but got a win over the Portland Trail Blazers. They got Hartenstein back, which is what they really needed now that Chet Holmgren is out with an injury. They definitely needed Hartenstein to come back because he is a center as well. So now they have that that help in the paint that that Chet Holmgren was there for. And they were hoping to have them as a two-headed monster there in the paint. But the two of them have not really played together much this season, if at all. I don't think they have played together. And if they did, it was only for like a couple of games to start the season. But Hartenstein's been injured for the majority of the season. He just got back, so they needed him. And he's actually fitting right in, averaging about 14 rebounds per game. So he's really making a difference. And the Oklahoma City Thunder still continue to get those wins. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings is the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 10-6. This past week, they got the win over the Utah Jazz, but now have lost two in a row to the Orlando Magic and the Denver Nuggets. But I want to talk about rookie Dalton Knecht. My problem with the Lakers over the years has been we don't draft anybody because we've been trading away our draft picks for veteran players, which, I mean, sometimes that's just the case. But over the years, we just haven't found any young blood that's able to just fit right in. And Dalton Knecht, man, he has been doing it since the preseason. Like, he has been so fucking good. I can't believe this guy fell to us. I mean, before the draft, he was actually projected to be one of the top, like, top 5 to 10 picks out there. And he somehow magically fell to the Lakers. And he has been so good for this team. I mean, against the Jazz, he went crazy from three-point range. He had something like 9 three-pointers or something like that. He just went off and was the main reason why we won that game. And he's had other games as well where he's just made some great three-point shots. Like, he's such a weapon at the three-point range, which is what we've really needed. Somebody who's reliable in the three-point range. And he's actually becoming that third guy between LeBron and AD who, of course, have been having their fantastic seasons, except for AD has screwed us over in a couple of games at the free throw lines, and he's even known that, especially in that Orlando game there. We actually had that game, and he missed a couple of free throws and cost us that game. But, you know, that's going to happen throughout this 82-game season. But Knecht, I really, really like what I see from this rookie. Then at number 6 on the top 10 NBA power rankings, the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 9-6. This past week, they got wins over the Memphis Grizzlies and the Los Angeles Lakers and lost to the Dallas Mavericks. And Nikola Jokic is just continuing to do Nikola Jokic things. He is the triple-double machine. He just cannot be stopped. He is like one of the most unstoppable players on the court. It is crazy. You know what you're getting from the dude, but he still just continues to dominate each and every game. Now, the problem for the Nuggets are the injuries. It feels like every time they get somebody back, another guy goes out. They get him back, then another guy goes out, and it's Jokic is the only consistent, reliable force so far. Westbrook really hasn't been terrible. He hasn't cost them any games. As a matter of fact, he's filled in pretty well for them so far, so I like actually how he's fitting in with them. It's really just the injuries have been a problem for the Nuggets, and they haven't been able to get any consistent play from anybody other than Jokic at this point. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 12-6. Did not think I was going to be talking about them again this week, but here they are. They did lose to the Milwaukee Bucks earlier in the week, but then they got wins over the Indiana Pacers and the Portland Trail Blazers, and then lost again to the Portland Trail Blazers. After last week, I was like, well, I guess I got to kind of pay a little bit of attention to the Rockets to kind of at least know what's going on here. And there is this player they've got named Alperen Sengun, I believe is how you pronounce his name, Sengun. And he is what you would call like a Swiss Army knife for basketball because he can rebound, he can shoot, and I mean, this guy is actually one of the main reasons why the Houston Rockets are 12-6, Van Vliet, he's actually been having a pretty good year as well. So Houston, they're a young squad putting it together. I don't know if I believe in them yet, but I mean, this 12-6 record is hard for me to ignore. They are leading their division right now. So, I can't ignore them. And I don't really expect them to keep this up, but until they don't, I got to keep talking about them. So Houston Rockets actually playing some pretty damn good basketball right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 10-7. This past week, they lost to the Denver Nuggets but got wins over the Philadelphia 76ers and the Chicago Bulls. Right now, they are second with averaging 120 points per game and third averaging 48 rebounds per game. Like, they are just a huge surprise. I mean, Zach Edey, even though he's injured right now, he was huge when he wasn't injured. And I mean, he was great in the paint for them, adding a lot of defensive energy for them there. And Ja, even though he's been out these last couple of games, or last couple of weeks, he's actually expected to be back tonight in game. So good for them. But they've been playing well without him. They were playing well with him. So now that he's back, this Memphis Grizzlies team, they are actually looking like a pretty solid squad. Like I said, Zach Edey looking like a really good pick for them. The injury, you know, he's been injured about a week now, so he's missed a few games. But it doesn't look like it's anything that's going to linger throughout the season. It looks like he should actually be coming back here pretty soon. But he's really fit right in with the squad. And, as far as rebounding goes, this is one of the best teams in the league at it. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 11-7. This past week, they got wins over the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers and lost to the Los Angeles Clippers. Also got a win over the Detroit Pistons. But, I mean, they've actually been still playing well, minus Paolo Banchero, who got injured a few weeks ago. And they're actually still one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, like I keep saying, Eastern Conference very, very weak. But the fact that the Magic are still playing the way they are without Banchero, it says a lot. You got Franz and Mo Wagner playing excellent basketball right now and actually really carrying this squad. And I really just like what I see from the Orlando Magic. And I don't know if it's going to last, but the fact that they're playing, they played pretty decent last year and playing very well right now without Banchero. Whenever he gets back, I feel like this should be a pretty good team. I feel like they're going to make the playoffs just because the Eastern Conference is so bad, at least right now. But I mean, the fact that they're keeping their, more than keeping their head above water in this game, it says a lot about how good they are as a squad. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, have the Los Angeles Clippers. Overall record of 11-7. They are actually on a 5-game winning streak right now. This past week, they got wins over the Golden State Warriors, the Orlando Magic, Sacramento Kings, and the Philadelphia 76ers. So those are all pretty good squads that they beat there. James Harden and Ivan Zubac, they are carrying this squad right now. It's really actually kind of crazy to be talking about the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. We don't know when he's coming back. So, I mean, good for the Clippers that they're actually finding an identity without him. So they should actually, once he comes back, hopefully he'll fit right in. Who knows if he will, because, you know, that's just kind of how it works out with Harden. But Harden is doing what he does, having a good regular season, taking care of business. In each and every game, he really has been the leader. And then Zubac has been getting it done in the paint, getting rebounds, and just really being a huge, another superstar for Harden to count on this squad. So, yeah, we'll see what the Clippers have the rest of the season. I don't know if they're going to maintain that, but actually looking pretty good right now without the presence of Kawhi Leonard at all this season. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.